Yismach Yisrael for Parsha Zachor. It's on page 78. Okay, it begins with Os Gimel. We're not skipping anything because he included it in the section on Parsha Tetzaveh. So Aleph and Beis are Tetzaveh. And Os Gimel, he begins his Torahs on Parsha Zachor. Kvod Kedushas Adoni Avi Mori Verabi Zatzal. Top of page 78. Diber Bekodsho. Al inyan parsha zachor im ha-mitzvah dafka b'Shabbos kodem pur. Is there a connection between zachor and Shabbos itself? Meaning we happen to read parsha zachor on Shabbos, but if you think about the pasuk, there's a mitzvah to remember Amalek. Does it say it's supposed to be on Shabbos? Does it say it's supposed to be on the Shabbos before Purim? It doesn't say anything. It just says we should remember Amalek. Chazal assume that if you don't do something for a year, a full year, you'll forget it. Okay, so some point over the course of the year, we have to read and remember Amalek. Va'ayin Magen Avram begins with a little bit of a halachic discussion here. The Magen Avram brings Shemevi b'shem hasmak in the name of the Sefer Mitzvahs Katan, v'trumas hadeshen, some of the great Rishonim, dehu de'oraisa, that in fact it's a mitzvah de'oraisa, u'mitzvah lishmoa es hakriya yoser mimikra megillah. Believe it or not, that some opinions hold that Megillah is only Midrabanan. Hearing Parsha Zachor this Shabbos, make sure you get to Shul, hearing Parsha Zachor this Shabbos is a mitzvah d'oraisa, and maybe even greater, unbelievable, even greater than Kriyas HaMegillah. V'hamagin Avram ba'atzmo misupak imhu d'oraisa. The Magid Avram himself, after quoting these opinions from the Rishonim that it's d'oraisa, says, I'm not so sure if it's d'oraisa per se. Va'afilu imneima shahuda araisa, and even if you say it's a biblical commandment, aval yachol letzeis b'shmiya gaba parshas teitzei. Right? When we actually read the psukim in the normal order of the parshios, the psukim of Parsha Zachor are found in what parsha? The psukim that describe, remember what Amalek did, is where? In Parshas Kiseitzei. So the fact that we read it now, right, the fact that we happen to read it now, the Magen Avraham doesn't think is a araisa fulfillment. Again, I can hear it as part of the regular order of the parshios and fulfill my obligation in that way. V'ayin b'sefer achinuch, parshas kiseitzei, mitzvahs asei, tofresh gimel, ayin shom. So he says, my father explained as follows. Kvod kedushas adoni avi mori v'rabi zatzal, diber b'kotcho. Shenira shehumi d'araisa l'krosa, dafka b'shabes kodem pur. Ubapur. We mention Amalek, we read the psukim about Amalek, both before Purim, on that Shabbos, and on Purim itself. Why? Why was it established in that way? Dihinei mevuar b'Rambam, the Rambam in Hilchos Malachim, uv'sefer achinuch, they both explain, the mitzvahs asei mechias Amalek noheges la'olam. The truth is, there's a mitzvah right now to go and kill Amalek. Now, we don't know who Amalek is. So it takes on a generic expression of trying to uproot evil from the world. But really, in theory, there is still a mitzvah of Mechias Amalek. V'haynu im gam bizman hazeh hayadenu takifa. If we lived in a society where, again, it was under Torah law, right? Again, we're bound by dina de malchusa dina, right? So we can't kill anyone in accordance with the Torah today. That's not going to fly in the face of American law. But if we were to live in a society, in a place where our hands were strong, meaning where we had Torah authority, v'nimtza eiza me'amalek asher hayeno delanu bebirur mamish, and if we knew 100%, misafek, we're not going to kill anyone, but if you knew 100% that this person was Amalek, shu amaleki, vadai, v'lo nevad zichro, avra mitzvah sasei zos. If you knew for sure this person was Amalek, and you didn't destroy him, so you're in violation, even b'zman hazeh, of this mitzvah. His point is not go try to figure out who Amalekim are and kill them today. That's not what he's saying. But he's saying the mitzvah of destroying Amalek is still very much a mitzvah today. It's still very much a mitzvah today. And therefore what? V'hinei k'muvuar b'svarim u'muvuar b'medrash shochar tov. The Medrash in Tehillim explains on the pasuk, Hodu la'Hashem ki tov ki li'olam chasdo. Hashem's kindness is what? La'olam. Ki la'olam chasto. Lo l'shana. Hashem's kindness is not for a year. Lo l'shnasayim, not for 2 years. Rak la'olam. Hashem's kindness is forever. So what does that mean? Hainu. Shazman ve'es ratzon shaya oz. Ve'es asiyas ha-chesed va'anes ha-gadol. The miracle that took place on Purim left its imprint on time. Any chesed that God has ever done leaves a mark on time. So there's certain points in the calendar which are particularly special because of the chesed that Hashem did at that time, and that chesed is ki la'olam chesed. It leaves a mark forever. Hazman hazem ma'orer es atzmo, or es asmenu, b'chol shana v'shana. So that time comes around and reawakens as it comes around again through the calendar year. So when you get back to the Zaman of Purim, all of the kindness that Hashem showed for the Jewish people on Purim once again is reawakened. V'nis orer gam kein haratzon v'hachesed v'harachamim lifol gam kein ka'es me'en hanisa me'elu. And then we're able to tap in and to re-experience and to try to have our own chasadim and to tap into that rachmanis and to experience miracles. Bayamim ahem, bazman hazeh. It was then, but it's also now. Ubeprat b'yamei Purim. Says the Yismach Yisrael, this is especially true about Purim. Again, Kabbalistically, the Yom Tovim correspond to the Sfiros. And as we mentioned a few times, Purim typically corresponds to Netzach. Teshua sam ha'isa la'netzach, as we sing after the Megillah. Netzach means forever. So if everything Hashem does is ki li'olam chasto, la'olam chasto, his chesed forever, all the more so the selling of him, which is that much more forever. Which is why, again, like the Medrash says, that when Mashiach comes, we'll still have Purim. It's why Megillas Esther, the corresponding sefer of Purim, is never batal. Shenamar behem mikra male says, and the proof is in the text itself. What does it say in the Megillah? V'hayomim ha'ele, these days, nizkarim v'na'asim. These days are remembered and celebrated. Obviously, the Pashup Shad is, yeah, we celebrate Purim. But it means when we remember these days, we re-experience these days. Na'asim. These days are happening again. Not just a zecher to what once was, that through remembering it, we re-experience it. Nizkarim v'nasim, it's happening now. Raksha davar tzorech liyisarusa delatata. But again, the way to make it happen is to become aware of it, to become mindful of it, to wake it up and to make it happen. And that's what the zachar is. It's very interesting. Think about it. You have a zachar, remembering, being mindful, and then you go into a purim ad delo yadan throughout your mind. It's a very interesting contrast, no? You have a Shabbos zachar. Zachar means don't ever forget what a malik did to you. Keep your head on straight. Don't be so quick to forgive this evil. Don't pardon evil. Take a stand against evil. And then you come to Purim and like, adlo yada, remove your das. But that's exactly the point. We have to first have an isarusa delatata, which literally means an arousal from below. We have to make it happen. And then once it's happening, then you can just, you know, hand it over to Hashem. You can turn off your brain and let HaKadosh Baruch Hu work his magic. But you need to be ma'or. Again, we sort of spoke about it, but we didn't finish. I told you, we had part one of a two-part shir. Purim Katan, we spoke about how Purim Katan is all about hachana, 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 get yourself ready. And then Purim is the opposite. Purim's after everything I did to get ready, I'm totally not ready. There's nothing I can do to get ready. And Hashem, I hand the keys to you. Because I can't drive on Purim. You understand? So just like Klal Yisrael also, the salvation was unbelievable on Purim, but they did their part in advance. What was their part in advance? The fasting, the screaming, the crying, the davening. And therefore on Purim, we experience this Mechia Samalik. Ukiyadua Amram Zal, as the Gemara says, Shahaman Haya Mizera Malik, the Esther Mizera Shaul. Haman came, of course, from Amalek. Esther comes from Shaul. Shaul HaMelech, who failed to finish the job. And he allowed the Melech of Amalek, Agag, to survive. And by extension, Amalek escaped. Amalek was recreated, rebuilt. V'lechein ba al yedei mechias Amalek. Haman v'zaro letakin chet Shaul. A big inyan. That through mechias Amalek, we fix the mistake of Shaul HaMelech. We come to correct the mistake of Shaul HaMelech. In the end, of course, if you remember the Navi, Shmuel kills Agag. But it's too late at that point because Agag has impregnated a woman who will carry on the seed of Amalek. So even though Shmuel tries to correct the wrong of Shaul, right? Shaul with the kolel is gematria. Shaul is Purim with the kolel is gematria Shaul. Right? Shaul is 337. Purim is 336. So Purim is somehow a tikkun for Shaul. Uvachol shana v'shana this or is ha'kalach. So to speak, every year we get another chance to try to destroy Amalek. Right? Esther fixing the mistake of Shaul means that there's always going to be, again, because we defeated Amalek on Purim, but there's still Amalek in the world. There's still some Amalek in the world. So every year on Purim, we try to reawaken that spirit of what? Of correcting where we've been too casual about letting Amalek get away with things. On Purim, we don't tolerate it anymore. On Purim, we say it's time to get rid of Amalek. So when we awaken ourselves to this commitment, so when you show that you're committed to defeating Amalek, HaKadosh Baruch Hu once again acts towards Klal Yisrael with chesed, with rachman, with nisim. And then we're able to defeat and to remove the seed, the remnant of Amalek. So therefore, says the Yismach Yisrael, so therefore, min ha-Torah, we have to what? The only way to what? To actually defeat Amalek is to prepare ourselves to defeat Amalek. That's the chi of the Arais of Kriyas Parshas Zachor. There's a mitzvah d'Arais, he says, to read Parshas Amalek. Leman na'or es atzmenu bisarusa d'letata, leman limchos shemo yimach shemo. In order to erase his name, may his name be erased. Top of the left column. Ki kamo shemichu yavam anachnu b'nefesh. Hainu. Just like B'nefesh, on the level of people, on the level of souls, if we knew someone was physically from Amalek, we'd have an obligation to destroy and erase. So too, when I have a time that I can be more successful in killing Amalek, again, if I had the ability to physically act against an Amalek, yeah, I would have to. So says the Yismach Yisrael, the same thing is true in Zman. If there's a Zman where we're supposed to be focused on Amalek, so then it becomes an obligation for me to do whatever I can to be mindful of that obligation. Again, third line. Kein gam bizman. Hainu bizman shenucho lemachko. Ulachriso mechuyavam anachtu mitzvah sezu. So when I'm able, when there's a time that's ripe for the removal of Amalek, so I have an obligation to do so. So therefore, the Shabbos before Purim is when we reawaken ourselves to this commitment. Why Shabbos? He didn't really explain why Shabbos yet. So he says here in brackets, Shabo nasa hanes b'kawach, ki kol bircha in de la'ila v'tata biyoma shviya talyam. What does that mean? All bracha from above and below. Look at the words. Kol bircha'an means all bracha. Dila'ela, from above, v'tata, and below, biyoma shvi'a'a, on the seventh day, talion, are dependent. Like we say in Lechadodi, that Shabbos is what? The Mekor HaBracha, the source of all blessing. So therefore, since Shabbos impacts the week, so this Shabbos, the Shabbos that will lead us into Purim, right, has all of the potential of Purim. So how do I tap into that? By reading Parsha Zachar. O Bipurim, if you don't hear it, Parsha Zachor, to this Shabbos, some say that if you hear the laning on Purim, that also counts as remembering Amalek. So that's what it means, O Bipurim. Shebo nasa anes bepo, because that's when the thing actually occurred. Right? Ideally, we tap into Shabbos. Now, you would think, maybe we should ideally do, why don't we read Parsha Zachor on Purim? Why weren't Chazal Koveya to read Parsha Zachor on Purim itself? Why the Shabbos before? So we'll see. We'll see more about the connection between Shabbos and Amalek. There's a Zachor by both of them. Zachor is Yom HaShabbos, and Zachor is Asher HaSalacha Amalek. But we'll get to that in a few minutes. So now he asks the question, about nine lines in the left column. Ve'eich nizka lisarusa d'latata. So what is our part? How do we experience, again, emotionally, the preparation to defeat Amalek? What is the midah of Amalek? And how do we make ourselves fit to defeat Amalek? Yeah, what would you like to say? Well, sounds like he's saying the best we could do today is to remember in a very real way. But he's talking about a spiritual awakening that comes along with that remembering, because we're not able to take action. Even though, he says, If you look in the Rambam, and if you look in the Sefer HaChinuch, the mitzvah, in theory, applies today. There are technical problems. It's against the law. It's against the law of the governing country. We don't know who Amalek is. Right? Hashem set it up that way because I always say, I think Hashem set it up that way, that Amalek today is an idea and not a particular person that we're supposed to kill. Because I just think that's a hard mitzvah for us. In our world today, it would be very hard for us to imagine. Imagine going to kill a person just because they're Amalek. It's one of the hardest mitzvahs of the Torah. That's also Adla Yada. They kill a woman from Amalek. She's a nice lady. She happens to be a biological descendant of this people. So I think because it's very, very difficult for us to be Mekayim such a mitzvah, Hashem in his kindness towards us, Dafka hid from us that mitzvah and gave it to us in more general packaging of uproot evil from the world. But that's something we have to take seriously. And we don't take it seriously enough sometimes. And therefore the Shabbos before Purim, we try to, wait a minute, there are bad things in the world, and I have to take a stand against bad things. I can't be so understanding and sympathetic to every cause. Some things are evil. And what's my moral compass? How do I know what's good and what's evil? Some people think Jews are evil. Okay, so that's why we have a Torah. That's why we have a Torah. It was given to Klal Yisrael in the presence of millions. A unique claim amongst all the religions of the world. So we've got the real thing. We have to believe that. Someone else claims they have the real thing. Okay, they can claim whatever they want. But we have to know that our Torah is Torah Semis. We have to try to live by its values. Hu mavuar b'mishnah Rosh Hashanah. So how do we awaken ourselves to defeat Amalek? So says the Yismach Yisrael, let's go back to the scene. Parshas B'Shalach, Moshe Rabbeinu, standing on the mountain, right, with his outstretched hands. And let's see how the Mishnah, in the third parak of Rosh Hashanah, explains that scene. Vayihi kasher yarim Moshe. When Moshe raised his hands, v'chi yad, asks the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, v'chi yadav shal Moshe osos malacha oshovos melchama. Do Moshe's hands win wars or lose wars? Right? It sounds from the pasuk that when Moshe's hands are up, the Jews win. When Moshe's hands are down, the Jews lose. What's the pshat? So explains the Mishnah, Ela lomar lecha, kol zman shehayu Yisrael mistaklin klapei mala. When Jews look up, right? Moshe's hands up means Moshe's pointing them. He's pointing them where they need to look. When Jews look to Avinu shabashamayim, mishabden es liban lavim shabashamayim, hayu misgabrim. This is not the Yismach Yisrael's interpretation. This is the Mishnah. The Mishnah says in Rosh Hashanah, when Klal Yisrael looked up, when their eyes were turned to the heavens, so then what? Then they win wars. And when we look, God forbid, down, when Moshe's hands are down, then what? Then we lose wars. What does it mean, hands up, hands down? What does that mean? Hands, we spoke about, is very much connected to Amalek. Yadayim yaday Esav. That's where Amalek comes from. Kiyad al Keska, the hand of Amalek, is on the throne of Hashem. The Torah warns us, don't be a Baal Gaiva. V'ram levavecha v'shachachtas Hashem lokecha. Right? V'ram. Ram is Gematria Amalek. V'ram levavecha. If Amalek creeps into your heart, you're going to come to forget Hashem. And what does it say right around those psukim over there in Chumash Devarim? It says what? It says a person's going to say, ah, koichi v'oitzim yadi asaliya sachayel azim. The work of my hands made me successful. So you know what hands up means? My hands don't belong to me. My hands belong to Hashem. Hands down means these are my hands. Keeping them in my domain. Hands up means what? That my hands don't belong to me. My hands belong to Hashem. Klape maila, what does it mean towards the heavens? Explains the Yismach Yisrael, Hainu sheyodim u'mistaklim be'ena pakicha. That the Jewish people are able to look with a clear eye and recognize that what? And recognize what? Be'ein hasichli shekol tnu osam v'chamisha chushim sheba'adam v'machshava v'dibor u'maisa v'chachma bina deya v'haskel hakol hu me'ashem mechelko shenafach bo. That all of my intellect and all of my actions and all of my senses and my ability to think and my ability to what? My ability to speak. And my ability to what? My ability to do. Chachma, bina, das. Everything about me. It's all Hashem. It's not me. It's not mine. When my hands are up, I recognize it's all from Hashem. When my hands are down, God forbid, I start to think that I have my own. I'm just thinking. I don't know how to say it well, but I'm just thinking now. What's hands up and hands down? So let's take the word yad, yeah, and let's move it down. You hear what I mean by move it down? Move the letters down. What happens if you move the letters down? Right. So tes gimel. What's tes gimel? What's tes gimel? Tes gimel. Tes gimel. You know how many times letters tes and gimel appear next to each other in the Torah? Zero. That's why a divorce document is called a get. Total disconnect. Total disconnect. Yeah, what happens if you move the hands up? Move them up a letter. If you move yud and dalet up. Chafei. What's chafei? What's chafei? Saying this is Purim. This isn't Hanukkah. Chanu chafei? No, but what's the sod of chafei? We know from Hanukkah what chafei is. Chafei represents what? 25 represents what? No, we didn't talk about it on Hanukkah.
Yeah.
It's a very famous Zohar. We did. I'm telling you. We spoke about it on Hanukkah. The 25 letters of Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Right? So Chafei, the secret of Chafei, says the Zohar, is the 25 letters of Shema. Right? Rubenstein talks about it a lot, how the Medrash says that Haman wanted to kill Mordechai b'shas Kriya Shema. Right? What is Kriya Shema? Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. So if you move the hands up, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. If you move the hands down, God forbid you disconnect yourself from HaKadosh Baruch Hu completely. You separate from Hashem. Okay? Hands up versus hands down. Ve'al yedei zeh heim abarim lebechinas u'meshavdim es libam la'avim shva shemayim. So doing this, by being aware of Hashem, that my senses are from Hashem, my actions are from Hashem, my thoughts are from Hashem, my emotions are from Hashem, everything's from Hashem. When I realize that, then I achieve what the Mishnah calls what? Mishabdim es libam la'avim shva shemayim. Connecting my heart to Avinu shva shemayim. Hainu sheyodim shechol ma'aseyim u'mitzvoseyim ma'isim tovim u'machshavos tovos einam shalahem. Rak ha'kol me'ashem u'mekocho. My good deeds are not mine. My actions are not mine. Nothing of mine is mine. There's nothing that's actually mine. I told you the story with the Rapshitzer's gabbai whose talis and tefillin were stolen. The gabbai of the Rapshitzer, or of Naftali of Rapshitz, had his talis and tefillin stolen. So he came to the Rapshitzer and he was all bent out of shape. So the Rapshitzer says, "What happened? What are you so bent out of shape?" He said, "What do you mean? What am I so bent out of shape about? My talis and tefillin were stolen." So he's like, "Yeah. So what's the, I don't understand." So he's like, "But what do you mean? Like those are my tefillin. It's my talis." Like, so he said, "Tell me about the tefillin. Keep saying they're your tefillin. Tell me about these tefillin." He said, "What type of tefillin were they?" He said, "What do you mean, what type of tefillin? What type of tefillin were they?" He said, "What do you mean, I'm a chassid? It was two pairs of tefillin. It was Rashi tefillin. It was Rabbeinu Tam tefillin." So the Rapshitzer says to him, he laughs, says, "Ah, it's not your tefillin. You said it was your tefillin. It's Rashi's tefillin. It's Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin. No, it's not your tefillin." So he says, "Tell me about the talis. Tell me about the talis." So he says, "Rebbe, it's chashiv talis, a good Turk. It's called a Turkish talis, Turkish wool." So he said, "Oh, so it's not, you said it's your talis. It's a Turkish talis, it's not your talis. It's Turkish talis. It has a name. It's called Turkish talis, not your talis." So he said, "What else? Anything else? What are you so worried about? Nothing of this was yours." So he says, "Rebbe, my sitter. I love that sitter, my beloved sitter." He said, "Tell me about the sitter. What type of sitter was it?" He said, "It was a Berditchever sitter. I printed in Berditchev, a special type with the tzuras of the letters, right? It's my favorite art scroll sitter." So he said, "Oh, it's not your sitter, it's art scroll sitter. It's a Berditchev sitter, it's not your sitter." So the guy says, "Guy, none of it's yours. None of it's yours. The tefillin are Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam's. The sitter is a Berditchev sitter. The talis is a Turkish talis." He said, "Was there anything else?" He said, "What was it in?" So he says, "It was in like a old ripped plastic bag." So the Rosh says, "Oh, the plastic bag, that's yours." He says, "That's actually yours." So what's the pshat in this story? What was he saying to the Gavai? He was saying, the mitzvos of Maisim Tovim that a person does in this world, right? You think your tefillin are yours? That's what you did for Hashem? That's what Hashem did for you. Hashem, I davened. I kept Shabbos. Hashem says, Matana Tova Yeshli Beis Gerozah, Yushabbos Shema. That's my gift to you. You know what you give me? What do you give Hashem? The ripped bag. You give Hashem your nisyonos in this world, the suffering that you went through in the world. That's what you actually earned in this world. Everything else is a gift. You learned Torah. You davened. You kept Shabbos. You wore tefillin. You think you did God a favor? No such thing. Hashem did you a favor. Right? So a person has to realize what's really his. So he says, again, when a person realizes that my mitzvos and ma'asim tovim are not mine, it's all from Hashem. He quotes the pasuk in Divrei Hayamim, Ki mimcha hakol umiyadcha nasnu lach. From my side, I didn't do anything. Thank you, Hashem, for giving me the strength to get out of bed this morning and put on tefillin. Rak b'koach Hashem. And he says, that's the pshat in what? Shivisi Hashem l'negdi tamid. Hainu, ki mimenu kol pu'ulosav v'tnu osav. Shivisi Hashem l'negdi tamid. Keep Hashem opposite me. When? At all times. At all times, to realize that what? To realize that it's not me. What did the Mishnah say? What did the Mishnah say we're supposed to do? When the hands are raised, what do? Go back to the Lashon of the Mishnah. What is the Lashon of the Mishnah? Go back up a couple of lines. What does it say? Yistakon kape mala and? Mishavden es liban lavi yoshua shamayim. Right? To realize, to attach my heart to Hashem, he explains here, means what? Shivisi Hashem lenegdi tamid. To realize that Tamid, always, everything. Tamid means everything. Always. Everything. Everything, everything, everything is from Hashem. It's not mine. When you're Meshabed, you're a lave to Hashem. Meshabden liban lavim shosh maim. You realize, what? Shivisi Hashem lenegdi Tamid. That's why the Sfarim say, take the word lave and spell out the letters lave. Lamed, beis. Spell out the letters lamed, beis. Yeah, we did. Just the inner letters. What letters come out when you spell Lamed?
Beis.
What letters emerge?
44.
No, not a number.
Yeah.
Just look at the letters.
It's Yainus.
What letters come out?
Tamid.
Mishabdin libam l'Hashem. When you attach your heart to Hashem, then you're Mekayim, what? Shivisi Hashem lenegdi, tamid. Not 75% of the time, not 85% of the time, not 95% of the time. Oh, Hashem, this mitzvah I did for you. Hashem says, you don't get how this works. Tamid, tamid, it's always me. It's always me. Your mitzvahs are me, your thoughts are me, your actions are me. Ah, so rabbi, so how does free will work? Okay, good question. We have to play the game. We have to pretend it's us. Because if I say it's Hashem, then I can become irresponsible. Okay, Hashem, you didn't want to get up for davening this morning, Hashem. You didn't want to learn Torah today. You wanted to do that Aveira, Hashem. After all, Talmud, it's all you. So obviously, Hashem gave us a perception of free will, that we have to play the game. But to realize, Shivisi Hashem lenegdi Talmud, Hainu kimimenu ko pulosa v'tenuosav, everything. Right? When you expand your lave, which is what we just did, you spell out Lamed Beis, you expand your lave, the more expansive your heart is, the more you realize, Tamid, Tamid, Tamid. It's never me. It's always Hashem. V'chol mi she'eino mevin aseh umedam v'ben afsho shu osa mitzido. So a person who deceives himself, he's living in the dimyon of a malek, he's living in that world of machshavas haman where he thinks it's all him. It's yadayim yidei esav, he thinks he's in charge. Zeh la'os al pechisos sichlo v'avodaso. This is an indicator of the lowliness of his what? Of his service of Hashem. Validation is taklin klape mala, but when he gives over his hands to Hashem, he raises his hands, like it says about Moshe Rabbeinu. What does it say about Moshe's hands in that scene? How does it refer to Moshe's hands in Parshas Bishalach when his hands are up? His hands are emuna. Vihi yadav emuna, it says. What does that even mean? How do you even translate that? Moshe's hands are hands of faith? But yes, when you realize your hands are not your hands, right? And the tefillin is not your tefillin, it's Rashi's tefillin, it's Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin, it's Hashem's tefillin. So then a person can really serve Hashem. Val yedeshem estaklin klape mala, ubeshavdin eslibam kenizka la'el, bis oris hazu nimcha v'nechlash kocho shalamalik. That's how you defeat and weaken a malik. Ki kol kocho shalamalik, lo hayo rak lachosis es Yisrael, shiavo lintzos es Hashem. A malik wants us what? To challenge Hashem, to test Hashem, right? To wonder and question Hashem. Hayesh Hashem bekirbeinu im ayin? Is Hashem with me or not? I don't know. Yesh Hashem, ein Hashem. Ein Hashem, yesh Hashem. Nu, chavra, what's the answer on Purim? Yesh Hashem. Because yesh Hashem is gematria. Purim. Yesh Hashem. Of course there's Hashem. It's very clear. Rabbi Rubinstein said a couple of years ago, Machayev inish lebesume b'puraya ad layad. Look at the word inish. The word inish is ein and yesh. So over the course of Purim, we're clarifying this. Ein Hashem, yesh Hashem. Inish. Machayev inish. A person who's in that world of ein and yesh. Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu. Am I in? Is God with me? Is he not with me? With me? Not with me? On Purim, we go through the process of coming to the conclusion that what? Yesh Hashem. Yesh Hashem is gematria Purim. There is Hashem. Clear as day. No sveikos. Safek is gematria Amalek. Hainu shahayu misupakim im ayin. Right? Amalek wants us to doubt. I don't know. Is Hashem with me? Ve'eich efshar lios kemistapik v'za. And how could a person doubt this? How do we have doubts about Hashem? How do we have doubts about Hashem? I'm still excited about what we said yesterday. Vayomer Elokim Yehior. Vayehior. Hashem does what he says he's going to do. God says, let there be light. And there was light. So for the first time God speaks in the Torah, you see, when he says something, he means it. So I don't know, where do we get sveikos from? Halo mikol pu'losov tnuosov v'chushov nira kolach Hashem. Every move we make, do we have any understanding? Do I have any logical understanding of how my brain is communicating with my mouth right now? That I'm reading words, I'm processing them, I'm sharing them with miracles. I'm moving my hand. How am I able to lift my hand? How does that work? Mamash a miracle. So we have doubt through our own actions, through our own feelings, our emotions, our movements. Do we not feel the koach of Hashem inside of ourselves? V'chelek elokai hashochin b'kir bo tamid b'li hefzik rega. The Hashem that lives with us every moment of every day. When you become aware of that, when you become aware of your own heartbeat, or your own breath, yeah, you recognize the power of being able to see, or to speak, or to hear. So Amalek disappears very quickly, because it becomes so obvious. My whole life is one big Yesh Hashem. Every move I make, right, every single thing that I do is I'm filled with Hashem. And I destroy in that way, he says in the bottom line, Hasam v'yitzahara hamachuna al shem Amalek. I destroy the Yitzahara, who is called by the name Amalek. Okay, top of page 79. Let's go a little further in this piece. U'me'estaklus v'izbonelis hazeh zochim l'simcha amitis v'hi ikr simchas purim. When I realize that every bit of my existence is filled with a divine interaction, my heart beating right now is Hashem pumping life into me. Hashem is not somewhere out there. Hashem is very much bikirbeinu. Hayesh Hashem bikirbeinu. Is God inside of us? The answer is absolutely. And when you know that, what a simcha. Yitein Hashem shenizka l'simchasos. Halavai Hashem should help us to have and experience the simcha. V'dvar v'kadoshim divrei pi chacham chen. The words that my father explained are very wise. V'heim rafuos talem l'nefashos Yisrael. And it heals the broken hearts of the Jewish people. Okay. All right, let's keep reading. Let's keep going a little bit. What is? Yad of Amuna? That's it. Yeah? V'hi yad av amuna ad bo is a malik. Okay.
He said that when they raise their hands, that's when they surrender. When you raise their hands,
that's when they surrender. That I heard from him once. I think that was a Purim Katan Torah. Right, hands off is surrender by the world. But to us, it's surrendering to Hashem. Very good. Uledarcheinu nomar b'signon dvarav hakadoshim v'navar b'zed divrei medrashan chuba. So let's build on this idea, and now let's really understand the Shabbos piece. Because I told you there's a Shabbos piece here also, right? We read parshas Zohar on Shabbos because is there any other day where we what surrender to Hashem more than Shabbos, where we say it's not my own efforts, where I stop doing with my hands? It's Shabbos. It says the Medrash Tanchuma, Kan ksiv zachor, uveshabbos ksiv zachor. By Amalek it says zachor, and by Shabbos it says zachor. Shnehen shavin. Right? The two of them are, in some ways, equated. Amar Shlomo, v'amarti ani b'libi, k'mikre haksil gamani yikreini. Afalpi shekasa b'shabbos zachor, v'amalek zachor, einam shavin. You might think that they're equal, but in truth, the zachor is actually different. What is that? Mashal lema hadavar doma. Mem lamed hei dal stands for mashal lema hadavar doma. And this is the Medrash brings a mashal. A parable to what can this be compared? Or on page 79, in the that first big paragraph, six lines in. First word on the line, first phrase on the line, mem lamed hei dal. Mashal lema hadavar doma. What is this comparable to? Lemelech sha'asa suda. Imagine a king who made a big feast, and he invited many guests. And he sees that a plate is placed before him, filled with all sorts of delicacies. Amar zachar ploni ahuvi. He says, "Wow, I think about my best friends. Wow, who provide me with all these delicacies." Mishakinach ha'ka'ara, when the plate is empty. At the end of the meal, and he sees an empty plate, he says, empty. The king says, what does empty remind me of? Empty? I hope that all my enemies have empty plates. Right? Not because they ate the food, but because that they should be poor. Amar zachar ploni sonai. Right? Now I'm remembering my enemies. So too, the zechira of Shabbos is a positive zechira, and the zechira of Amalek, says the Medrash, is a negative zechira. Kach Shabbos ksib bazachar, shimah Shabbos lakadsho. How are you zocher Shabbos? We're mechabir with Michael and Mishta and Ksus Naki, with food and drink and nice clothing. By Amalek it says, Zachar Esa Shara Salacha Amalek. Remember what Amalek did to you. Ama Ata Zoichro. How do you remember Amalek? Al Shulchan Reikam. An empty table. An empty table. Al Pi Divrei Kedushas HaRebi Rebunam Zatzal. So the Rebbe of Simcha Bunim of Pershischa explained as follows. D'chol Ish Yisrael, this is a famous teaching from the Rebbe Rabbunim, but let's understand it now in this context. Everyone knows this teaching from Rabbunim. You may not know it's from Rabbunim, you may have heard it b'shem other tzaddikim as well. But the Rebbe Rabbunim said that every Jew has to have what? Two pockets. Has to have two Mamari Chazal, or two, well, actually one's a Mamari Chazal, one's a Pasuk and Chumash. But you have to have these two Torah teachings with you at all times. Rabbi Abunim said, "D'chol Ish Yisrael tzarech liyos lo shnei midos tovos eila." Every Jew needs the balance of these two things. What are they? That which Chazal says in Sanhedrin Labit Zayin, "Kol echad ve'echad chayav lomar bishvili nivra ha'olam." Everyone needs to say. Every Jew needs to say, "The world was created entirely for me." Vashnia, and the second midah, midas Avram Avinu Alav Hashalom. Va'anochi afar ve'efer. I am but dust and ashes. Every Jew needs to live with that balance. Hainu, kasher ha'yetzahara mesiso lehizgaos b'maisav atovim. When the Yetzahara tries to make you into a bal gaiva, tzarech leida'oz b'chinas anochi afar ve'efer. So how do I save myself from gaiva? When the Yetzirah tries to make me a bal gaiva, a haughty person, what's my response? Me, haughty? Anochi afar ve'efer. I'm dust and ashes. I'm a nobody. That's how I defeat the gaiva. Sheka'ayin v'ka'efes nechshuvu kol ma'isa v'tovim. V'ka'asher yisya'ish chas v'shalom mipa'asi di'aso. Shu meshuka ba'omek ha'klipa rachman al-itzlan. And what if the Yetzirah tells me the opposite? You're a nobody, you're a lowlife. You're a bum. So what do I say back? Tzarech leida. What do you say back? Bishvili nivra ha'olam. Hashem created the whole world just for me. How dare you talk to me that way? I'm the king of the world. I'm the greatest. U'lechol chataim nivra refua. And there's something called tshuva. Don't try to convince me that I'm hopeless. V'hu tshuva laman kiyum ha'olam. And that's the tshuva that sustains the world. V'hinei b'Shabbos Kodesh, kasher kol nefesh mi'Yisrael lefi erecho b'chinasuhu margish kedushas noam Shabbos Kodesh. So when a Jew comes to feel Shabbos, each person, he says, in their own way, pshute hamone am segula margishim kedusha Shabbos Kodesh, al yidei hamanucha v'ha'oneg b'maycho v'mishto v'ksus nakia. A simple Jew feels Shabbos. Shabbos is the delight. Nice food, nice drink, clean clothing. Rav Soloveitchik's beautiful description of the simple porter, the simple Jew, who was a Majitzer Chassid, and he changed on Shabbos. And the Rav used to sometimes catch Shalashudas by the Majitzer Shtibel. Yeah? So the Rav describes seeing this Jew and not even knowing who he was. During the week, he was this bent-over, schleppy Jew and wearing rags. On Shabbos, kapata, strimo, mamish, he didn't realize it was the same person. So a simple Jew even undergoes a transformation on Shabbos. Different tzura. Doesn't even look the same. Nice food, nice drink, nice clothing. V'heima yatu or tif'eres Shabbos Kodesh al yidei ha-menucha v'achila v'shtir k'sus nakia. And they're enveloped by a spirit of the sanctity of Shabbos through the what? Through the pleasures of Shabbos. The nice clothing of Shabbos, the nice food and drink of Shabbos. V'sride am Hashem hayoidim u'mizbonim b'pnimiyas or Shabbos Kodesh, V'yikros Kedusha Asom. But the remnant that still knows what Shabbos is, more than just, you know, a little herring, a little challah, a little cholent, right, which some people get very into. But those who know what Kedusha Shabbos is really about, B'pnimius, Margishim or Shabbos Kodesh, top of the left column, B'rabo Yatir, with much greater depth. Kedushas Neshama Yaseira. They don't feel what? That there's room for more food. They feel there's room for more soul. Kol echad ve'echad lefi b'chinaso, v'adrago shonos ad l'malerosh. Each person according to their own madrega. Many, many levels. V'lezen itztavinu b'mitzvahs zachor es yom ha-shabbos l'kadsho. And therefore we're commanded, what? Remember the Shabbos l'kadsho. Hainu, acher shetargish or mufla. V'noam kedusha Shabbos Kodesh. Al tomer bilvavecha. Ki hachanascha harbe heviacha lezeh. When a Jew starts to feel Shabbos, he says, I worked on feeling Shabbos this week. Don't think that your preparation, what? Made the Shabbos. Uvekocha v'otzem yodcha asisa sachaya lezeh. You know what happens? It's the greatest perversion. See, when a person works on a Tuesday, yeah? You're working on Wall Street. You have a successful day. You make some good cash. And a person says, koichi v'oitzim yadi. Right? It was the work of my hands. Hashem is a little bit more understanding of that. Because during the week, there is a perception that it is the work of your hands. What's the problem of thinking that Shabbos is the work of my hands? That's the greatest perversion. Shabbos? What do you mean? Shabbos is dafka the day that you don't work. Shabbos is the gift that Hashem gave you. So I understand how you get confused on a Tuesday to think that you made the money on Tuesday. How did you think that you made Shabbos? This is a code word for Mashiach, Yom Shekula Shabbos. Our job is to work and to work and to work and to work to bring Mashiach. But when Mashiach comes, it's not us. We're not going to feel like it was our efforts, it was Hashem's kindness. It's the same thing with Purim. You work and work and work. We've had a month and a half of Shirim of Purim. When you get to Purim, you still say, I don't know anything about Purim. Hashem, you make Purim. You make the Suda. I don't know how to make the Suda. You make the Suda. Adlo Yad. I have no idea how to do it. So he says, a person thinks his hachana, his preparation, made the Shabbos. Raktei diadia amitis sheyom kedusha Shabbos kodesh kviya v'kaima. First of all, we refer to the sanctity of Shabbos as what? As kviya v'kaima. It's established and it's upheld. Which means that what? We don't declare Shabbos. We declare Yom Tov. Mekadesh Yisrael v'hazmanim. We set up the calendar. We're Mekadesh l'chodesh al pi re'iya. We send our witnesses to Jerusalem to say, the new moon has come. That means today is Rosh Chodesh, or yesterday is Rosh Chodesh. But Shabbos, Kviya v'kayma mishesh smei bereshis. It's set in place. It's not you. Hashem controls the Shabbos. That's why we don't say Mekadesh Yisrael v'ha-Shabbos. What do we say on Shabbos? Mekadesh ha-Shabbos. Period. Hashem makes Shabbos. But Hashem in His generosity, what? Lends us Shabbos. He lets us experience it. He gives it to us as a matana, as a gift. As the Gemara says, matana tova yeshli bebeis genazai v'shabbos shema. I have something in my base genaza, in my treasure house, and it's called Shabbos. Why do you think Haman HaRasha wanted to give money to the Ginze HaMelech? Amalek is very much against Shabbos. Because Amalek knows, beating a Jew on a Tuesday, again, it's not so hard. It's easy to get a Jew to think, Yedai Midei Esav, that it's his hands. But a Shabbos, a Jew stops working. So a Jew knows it's not his hands. So Amalek says, Shabbos is the constant reminder to the Jews that they're the ones who are not in charge. So Amalek is very against Shabbos. That's why Zachar as Yom HaShabbos and Zachar as Amalek. Right? So Amalek is against Shabbos. So again, I'm pointing out now, the Pasuk says that Haman offered to give the money where? I'll put it into where? The Ginze HaMelech, the royal treasury. Into the Ginze HaMelech. That's exactly what the Gemara calls Shabbos. Shabbos is the special gift that Hashem has, Bebeis Genazai, in his treasure chest, in his storage, in his inner recesses, his storage chamber, where he hides his precious possessions. Vani Mavakesh Litna Yisrael, and I want to give it to the Jews. But it's not you. Don't think that it's on you earned. Have tremendous, tremendous Hakar Satov to Hashem for giving you Shabbos. Chevro. What's the beginning of Parshas Kisavo? Anyone know? What's the end of Parshas Kisetze? The psukkah that we're going to read this Shabbos is called Parshas Zachor. Defeat of Malik. What's the beginning of Parshas Kisavo? V'haya Kisavo ala Aretz. When you come to Eretz Yisrael. Nu, what do? Nashmita, good guess. Bikurim. First fruits. What is the message of first fruits? Why are first fruits right after Amalek? Zachar Sasher Asalach Amalek. The Malbim talks about this. A lot of tzaddikim talk about this. Not my own idea. Why are first fruits right after destroying Amalek? Because first fruits represent when I'm growing fruit in the field and I'm working so hard to produce those fruits. And now, all of a sudden I see, my first grapes. First grapes, give them to Hashem. It's not you. That's how you defeat Amalek. Hakaras HaTov. The Svarim talk a lot about how Hakaras HaTov is the way that a person defeats Amalek. So therefore, says the Yismach Yisrael, Shabbos. Don't think you're doing Hashem a favor by keeping Shabbos. Hashem is giving you the biggest gift in the world. And you have to give the biggest thank you in the world to Hashem. That's why Amalek is against saying thank you. Shabbos. Thank you, Hashem. Thank you for Shabbos. Amalek is against that. Ubechinas nachla v'yerusha. It's an inheritance. Like we say, ha-mancha menucha la'am Yisrael b'kedushaso. Hashem is manchel Shabbos to us. He gives it to us as a Yerusha. Right? Ubechinas nachla v'yerusha afilu bra bisha yoreshas aviv min haTorah. And when it comes to an inheritance, even what? The Gemara says in Bava Basra, even a bra bisha, even a bad son, gets a portion from his father's estate, midin Torah. Min haTorah, every child is Yorish the father. Gets an inheritance. The kid's not such a good kid. His father doesn't like him so much. Min haTorah, he still collects. So Hashem as our father gives us a Yerusha. You know what that Yerusha is called? Shabbos. V'zehu hashivenu avinu l'soresecha. Hainu v'pneisha ata avinu. Beautiful kavana for davening. Hashivenu avinu l'soresecha. What are we saying? We're saying, Hashem, return us, our father, to your Torah. Yeah, that's right. It's your Torah. It's not my Torah. I don't own the Torah, but as a father, give me an inheritance. I don't deserve it, but I get it anyways because I'm your son. Ukiviyachol, nasata lanu haTorah morasha. As the Medrash says, al tikri morasha eli Yerusha. The Torah is a Yerusha for us. And therefore, Chazal say, Talmud Chacham haPorish min haTorah. What happens if you go off the derech? A Talmud Chacham, who went astray, Eino bosh lachzor, can still come back. You know why? Why do you see people who make terrible mistakes and still pick themselves up in Torah? How does that? Where does that come from? You know where it comes from? Sha'omer li Yerushas avoysay ani chozer. I'm coming back to what? To my family. I'm coming back to my father's household. I'm coming back to my inheritance. Shafilu brabisha yoreshas aviv. Because even a rebellious child is able to inherit the father. Okay, and this is part of the defeat of Amalek, and that's why we read Parsha Zachar Dafka on Shabbos. Because Shabbos is the day where we surrender to Hashem and acknowledge that it's all from Him. Just turn the page for a second. I wanted to show you one Quick little piece on page 80. Just four lines on page 80. Look at the left column on page 80. There's a lot here. It's mamash a beautiful piece. But if you look at the left column on page 80, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines down. You see where he quotes the pasuk in Bereishis Parak Dalet? You recognize this pasuk? Gadol avoni minaso. Is my avera, is my avon, is my avera. Gadol, is it too big to be carried? Who said that? When Cain kills Hevel, right? Is my avera too big for you to carry, God? So the Yismach Yisrael says a gevaldic idea here. Hevel, listen to this. Cain's trying to do tshuva. Yeah? Cain wants to be a Baal tshuva. But a Baal tshuva sometimes feels, I'm not using Baal tshuva like the world. Baal tshuva, a person who wants to do tshuva. We're all Baal tshuva. A person who wants to do tshuva. And he feels so embarrassed to have that awkward conversation with Hashem. So think about it like this. Look what he says. Perish. V'chi gadol ha'avon shel ha'bal tshuva me ha'nose avon shehu bilti bal tshuva. Think about it. Before you do tshuva, who's sustaining you? Who's keeping your heart beating? Who's keeping your lungs pumping and breathing? Who's taking care of you? At the moment of sin, who's giving you life? Hashem. So now, a person wants to do tshuva, and they feel like, oh my gosh, it's so, you know, Hashem can't handle me. I'm embarrassed to talk to Hashem about this. Hashem says, let me ask you something. Who do you think it's easier for me to carry? The Baal tshuva or the one who doesn't do tshuva? So, the Baal tshuva, at least I'm owning up to it. So Hashem says, right. So notice the fact that I carried you before you were Baal tshuva. So all the more so I'll carry you when you're a Baal tshuva. I carry you when you're not a Baal tshuva. Look at the words again. V'chi gadol ha'avon shel ha'Baal tshuva is the sin of the Baal tshuva, is the heaviness of a Baal tshuva heavier mehanose avon shu bilti Baal tshuva than the weight of the avera before you did tshuva. And therefore we say to Amalek, he says, lahashiv la'amalek, ki nitzutz echad u'chelek elokai yachid miyuchad chai v'kayim v'shochim b'kirbam la'olam lo yichbe v'lo yishuna. The divine spark within me will never be extinguished. I will never be too much of a burden for Hashem. I will never be too heavy for Hashem. As the Navi Malachi says, Ani Hashem lo shanisi. I'm God and I don't change. I'm not changing my mind. I pick Klal Yisrael, I'm not changing my mind. That's what all the other religions of the world try to say. Oh, God, yeah, God picked Klal Yisrael, but he changed his mind. That's what the Christians claim, that's what the Muslims claim. Hashem says in Sefer Malachi, not true. I do not change my mind. Ani Hashem lo shanisi. I do not change my mind. I still choose Klal Yisrael. Okay? About it. Okay, let's end the day just by turning to page 82. And we'll do the small Oz Dalet. Just quickly. Because it's a little bit of a different style than we're used to seeing in the Yismach Yisrael. But it's important secrets of Torah to know about. Okay, he says in Oz Dalet, V'signon dvareinu, last paragraph for today. Nuchol lomer ala kosev al riv b'nei Yisrael v'anasosam hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu im ayin. It says that Klal Yisrael al riv, kaim l'chomesh amidah. When does Amalek come to attack Klal Yisrael? V'yavu Amalek v'yilachem m'Yisrael b'refidim. Yeah, again, the very end of Parshas B'Shalach. It says, "Vayorev ha'am im Moshe, vayomru tnu lanu mayim v'nishta." Right? There's a lot of complaining in B'Shalach. Vayorev ha'am im Moshe. The people complained against Moshe. Give us water to drink. Yeah? And they're complaining and they're complaining. And then what? Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu am ayin. Is God with us or not? They called the place of Masa u'meriva al riv b'nei Yisrael. Because of b'nei Yisrael's contention, they're complaining. About al nasosam es Hashem, that they were testing Hashem. And what's the very next pasuk after this? Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu am ayin. Vayavo Amalek. And then Amalek attacks. Okay? So what is this riv? What is this contention? These struggles, this strife that we feel when Amalek is close by. I mean, Amalek creates machlokas. That's what Haman's whole thing is. Yashno am echad mefuzar mefurad. They're scattered people. They don't see eye to eye. They don't connect with one another. But what exactly is this riv? Here the riv, the contention is Klal Yisrael complaining against Moshe, complaining against God. What is the secret of the word riv? So let's find out. Ratzalomar, bein b'midas yesh yuso. Ratzalomar, b'midas ha'alif, b'shvili nivra ha'olam. Ubein b'midas ayin, midas anochi afer ve'efer, tzarech lachok b'zichrono ki akol humi to yisbarach shema. Look at the pasuk again. Al riv b'nei Yisrael v'al nasosam hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu am ayin. So he's explaining it. We said before, every Jew has to live with a little bit yesh and a little bit ayin. What's the yesh that I live with? Bishvili nivra ha'olam. What's the ayin, the nothingness that I live with? Anochi afar ve'efer. And a person has to riv. A person contends with that, struggles with that. But they have to realize that regardless of, you know, whether you're holding by yesh or ayin, whichever technique you're using, you have to know that it all comes from Hashem. And the second you forget that, vayavu amalek, then amalek comes and attacks. But look what he explains. Zachor. Again, this Shabbos is called Zachor, remembering. Amalek is the one who brings us to what? Shechacha, forgetfulness. So chaver, take a look. V'shechacha ba al yedei riv b'nei Yisrael. Shechacha comes from forgetfulness, comes from riv, from contention. Well, the Sfarim say when you get angry, it causes you to forget things. Moshe got angry at Klal Yisrael and forgot things. Okay, that's maybe a pashup shot. But let's learn the pnimius of it. Look at this. This is Gvaldik. He quotes an Arizal by the Komizuzo. Bisod Maimer Chazal. The secret of a Gemara in Shabbos we mentioned a little while ago, that Rabbi Lazar ben Arach, Iokar today. Rabbi Lazar ben Arach traveled to a certain place. He went to the hot springs. He drank. You know what happened to poor Rabbi Lazar ben Arach? I think we learned about him on a Sunday once. Right? He forgot learning. Forgot his Torah. Ki hadar asa, when he came back, kam lemikre b'sifra, he got up to read from the Sefer, from the Torah. Boy lemikre hachodesh hazelachem. He wanted to read what? Hachodesh hazelachem. What did he accidentally say? He was so mixed up, he forgot the letters of the Torah. He said what? Amar hacheresh haya libam. He changed the letter dalid to a resh. He changed the letter zayin to a yud. And he changed the letter chaf to a beis. Hacheresh haya libam. So the three letters he changed are what? Resh, yud, and base, riv. Riv. Acheresh hayalibam. Riv. Says the Torah, al riv b'nei Yisrael, vayavu amalek. When the Jews forget, when we become like Elazar ben Arach, when we become forgetful, then what? Then what? Then God forbid, amalek attacks. Ki asatan yeshlo riv kitos mashchisim. Because the satan has 212 accompanying negative forces. I'm not going to go into what that means, but it just means 212 is a number of negativity. V'hechlev gimel osios dalid zayin chaf sofit. So he changed, not chaf sofit, chaf. He changed these three letters, dalid zayin chaf. And he changed them to resh, yud, beis, riv. That was his forgetfulness. And that's why he said, hacheresh haya libam. As Rav Shimshon Meastropoli explains, Sha'klipa hamachuna resh yud beis, this klipa, this negative spiritual force called resh yud beis, goreim shichacha, causes us to forget. Chaver, what helps us to remember? What are some things that we have that help us to remember? What helps us to remember? Tzitzis help us remember? What else helps us remember? Where is this Arizal, he said? Bekavanas mezuzah. A mezuzah helps us remember. When you walk through a doorway, you kiss the mezuzah, whether you're coming or going, you remind yourself, whichever direction you're heading, you're doing so with Hashem. Why does the Arizal talk about Reish Yud Beis and Kavanas mezuzah? So I'll let you in on a little secret very quickly. What's written on the back of every mezuzah? Anyone know? Right, the names, well, in the mezuzah it says Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. On the back it says Shakai, true. And then what else does it say? On the back of the mezuzah, it says, on the opposite side, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So there's three names of Hashem. Hashem, Elokeinu, Hashem. Okay? Open up any mezuzah, you'll see this with your own eyes. On the back side of the cloth, opposite Hashem Elokeinu Hashem, it says the letters that come after Hashem Elokeinu Hashem. So what are the letters that come after Yud, K, Vav, K? Chaf, Vav, Zayin, Vav. So on the back of Mezuzah, you'll see it says Chaf, Vav, Zayin, Vav. And then the same thing for Elokeinu. Right? Aleph becomes a Beis, Lamed becomes a Mem. And then again, for the next Shem Hashem, Shema Yisrael, Hashem, Elokeinu, Hashem, these three names, on the back of the Mezuzah, it has those three names, but just bumped up one letter. Chaf, Vav, Zayin, Vav. And the same thing for Elokeinu. Right? And then again, Chaf, Vav, Zayin, Vav. Okay? The gematria of those three words, Chaf, Vav, Zayin, Vav, plus Beis, Mem, Chaf, Vav, Samach, Zayin, plus Chaf, Vav, Zayin, Vav, meaning basically those three names of Hashem, Hashem, Elokeinu, Hashem, each one moved up one letter, is gematria 213. 213. Okay? So 213 beats to 12. 212, we're saying, is the name of the klipa of forgetfulness, Reish Yud Beis, 212. That's the name of this koach that caused you to forget. That's why Rabbi Lazar ben Arach, when he got confused and forgot the Torah, he said, Hachei resh, resh, haya, yud, libam, beis. When we kiss the mezuzah, we defeat that. It's also why Chanukah took place, if you remember, in year 213 of the second Beis HaMikdash. Because Chanukah was also about remembering. The Gemara says, a person who eats shemen, it helps you to remember. Chanukah and Purim are both holidays of remembering. Hashem said it's going to be a long galus to get to Mashiach. You might forget things along the road, right? I'm giving you Yom Tovim to help you remember. Chanukah helps us remember. Purim helps us to remember. These are Yom Tovim of remembering. So therefore, take a look, concluding the piece. So therefore, when there's Riv B'nai Yisrael, Sheyesh Pirud B'in HaDveikim B'in Levavos Yisrael Chas V'Shalom, when there's disconnect from one another, when we forget about one another, when we forget to call our friend who didn't show up for Shir, because right, I'm too busy, you know, on my own spiritual growth, that I forgot to reach out to someone. I didn't call my friend. I didn't check in with this fellow Jew. I knew he was going through a tough time. Sholeid chas v'shalom aklipa v'gorim shechacha. When there's period, when there's separation amongst the Jews, that causes shechacha, forgetfulness. And then you know what happens? God forbid we forget Hashem. Sheyishkechu as rabonam. We start to forget God. V'skashrusam b'chevel nachlas Hashem. We forget the attachment that we have collectively and individually to Him. And that's what the pasuk says, "V'ha'yu im shachoach tishkach." If you come to forget Hashem, umidamim benafsham ki ein Hashem bekirbam chas v'shalom. And therefore, Purim, of course, we pull closer together, and through the ahavas reyim ha'ovim goyrim yedias achdus Hashem. By knowing each other in a deep way, we get to know Hashem in a deep way, as the Torah says, "V'ahavta l'reicha kamocha," love your friend like yourself, ani Hashem, and then you get to know Hashem. So we learn a lesson about how the bonding together of Purim helps us to overcome the forgetfulness of Amalek, but we also learn this big secret about Reish Yud Beis. So be on the lookout for it if you find it anywhere else, and how Reish Yud Gimel comes to overpower the Reish Yud Beis. Hacheresh hayaliba, but don't allow your heart to be deaf. Hachodesh hazeh lachem is gematria Mashiach ben David. So we should be zocha to remember Hashem, to stay close to one another, to understand the power and the gift of Shabbos. And Amir Tzashem will be zocha this Purim to the Gula Shlema of Meher B'Meir. Amen. No? No?